We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, welcome back. Tomorrow we're going to get Merrill Reese out, the voice of the Eagles. He doesn't know it yet. But this was the first time in 44 years he was not at the Eagles game.
That had to be weird.
I believe he was at the Link for away game.
Yeah.
Where was Jimmy Kempke? The guy does a great job covering the team. You think he was home? Was he in D.C.? Let's find out. Jimmy Kempke is out of line right now from PhillyVoice.com. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Angelo. How you doing?
Where were you yesterday?
I was there. I probably was better off with Merrill in Philly with the view from that garbage press box.
All right,
but I was there.
And but you were not allowed, they had the news conferences we saw on TV, virtual. You were never able to be present with the players?
Correct, yeah. So we still just stayed in the press box after the game was over and did those over Zoom. Yes.
All right. Your tone suggests you didn't enjoy it.
Well, that's probably my least favorite trip of the year. any year, win, lose, draw, whatever. I'm glad to actually get that out of the way week one for sure.
All right, Jimmy, we're trying to figure out who to blame the most for this atrocious loss. Who do you blame the most?
Yeah, I mean, obvious answer here is the offensive line. But, you know, I think the expectations heading into this game were that they weren't going to play well. You're missing three starters and of course, Diller, Brooks, Lane Johnson. So, yeah, the expectations certainly weren't there. They played badly from Peters to Samalo to Kelsey, across to Herbig, Driscoll, Mailata. They're all bad. So, across the board, they weren't good, but that was sort of to be expected. I thought that Wentz, as you mentioned, I listened to a little bit of the show earlier. You know, as you mentioned, it was a tale of two halves. Like the first half, he was really good. And then, that first interception from there on, it really just got bad and snowballed. And then I think that Doug Peterson didn't do enough, in my opinion, to sort of take some of the pressure off of what, everyone could see was a struggling and wildly overmatched offensive line. So I think that, in terms of what could have been done, who sort of had power to make this game a winnable one, were Wentz and Peterson above the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. Jimmy, do you like the play call with a minute and change to play up 17, trying an out pattern to a rookie, which I thought had a high risk quotient, ended up being picked off and turned the game around? Do you like the play call?
So I put that one more on Wentz.
Okay.
So I don't know what the full play call was on that.
Yep.
It's certainly one of the routes in that route pattern was, that out route by, I think it was Rager. I don't know what the other patterns were in that route. I have to go back and look at it. I haven't rewatched the game yet. But Rager was covered. I don't know why Wentz threw it to him on that play because it was, I wouldn't call it an easy interception necessarily, but the quarterback made a nice play on the ball, but he was covered. Like that was not an open throw, and his throw was also inaccurate. So he threw it a little bit to the inside when that ball should have been much further to the outside. So I put that one more on Wentz than I do Peterson. Like I understand that Doug wants to kind of keep his foot on the pedal, and I get all that. So I don't know what the play call was. I don't know what the first read was, the second read was, the third read was. I don't know what Carson's keys were on that play. Like if defense shows this, then I go here. If the defense shows this, then I go there. So I don't know what exactly happened on that play, but I would put that throw on Carson more than Doug.
All right, then help me with the you saw him in the first 28 minutes. He was running very efficiently, a terrific offense, and he went Jekyll and Hyde on us, and he was terrible after that. Is it psychological, Jimmy? What do you analyze Wentz for us, this Jekyll and Hyde personality thing he's got?
It was, yeah, I think the pressure ultimately probably got to him because he was just getting beaten up the entirety of the game. I mean, you know, as you know, everyone knows, they got sacked a million times. But they also got hit a lot of times other than those sacks. So you start accumulating those hits, you start to get the happy feet, and, you know, you're maybe making throws that actually he held on to the ball a little bit too long, I thought, in that game. But I really just think it kind of snowballed on him. I wonder if he's still hurt a little bit because he's had that groin injury at the end of training camp where he missed some practices. And then, you know, he comes back. He wasn't listed on the injury report or anything like that. But one thing that was kind of curious to me is that, you know, I mentioned before that Doug didn't do a lot in terms of, you know, trying to help out a struggling offensive line. And one way that you can do that is you get your quarterback on the run, you move the pocket, you do things like that. They didn't do any of that with Carson Wentz yesterday, which is really confusing to me why they wouldn't. But I wonder if that was really sort of an effect of, you know, maybe he's not, you know, 100% healthy.
And, you know, that's a great point. Jimmy, obviously they gave the money to Jason Peters when he moved back to left tackle, but they're not giving the money to Zach Ertz. Could you give me your read of this situation? And were you privy to this dispute that Ertz had with Roseman after a practice last week?
No, so I saw that report. Who was it? Ian Rappaport, I think.
Yes.
Of NFL Network. I saw that when you guys saw it, so I didn't know anything about that when that report came out. So it was interesting to me. Maybe not totally shocking because Ertz, you know, earlier in the week had, you know, sort of lamented that you know, talks for a new deal had sort of stagnated, and you know, he said he wants to be an Eagle for life, and he wasn't sure if the team really, you know, sort of felt the same way. So he's frustrated that he's not getting a new deal. From the Eagles' perspective, they don't really have any urgency to get a deal done. He's got 2 years left on his contract. There are two tight end deals that were just done recently. One was George Kittle of the Niners. The other was Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. So Kittle got a great deal from the player perspective. Kelce did not. So Kelce took a really, really team-friendly deal. I think the Eagles would do a similar deal that the Chiefs do with Kelce, but Ertz doesn't want that deal. Like, it's a terrible deal for a player. Mm-hmm. I mean, not in our world, of course, like, you know, those guys are making $12 million a year. Maybe you, Angelo, but not the rest of us.
No, I understand what you're saying. But aren't they prioritizing Peters over? Why are they giving Peters more money? All he did was move over.
Yeah, so, you know, go back to Ertz for a second. So, like, I think that, you know, that Kelce deal really hurt him, and I think the Eagles are, you know, they're just kind of playing the wait-and-see game. Because any time, so, like, when any new money that Ertz gets, like the first year of any new contract, he's going to be, you know, into his 30s, and you typically see like a drop off in tight end play once you get into your 30s. So the Eagles are no rush to do that. If he gets hurt over the next 2 years, you don't want to give him that. You don't want to be paying a guy that's hurt that kind of money. I understand where they're coming from on that. You mentioned Peters. You know, he gets a little bit of bump of pay. He went from $3 million to $4 million, and I guess his potential earnings went from six to eight. So he got a little bump in pay. What a great guy for, you know, going for playing a different position after a guy.
Team
got
guy.
So I understand where Ertz is coming from. Like, and you know, like I said before, like he wants to be an Eagle for life. He doesn't think the Eagles share that, or maybe they don't. This guy played with a lacerated kidney last year. You know, he made huge catches in the Super Bowl and throughout the playoffs. He feels like he should be paid, but I can kind of see it from both sides.
All right, Jimmy. You do a phenomenal job covering the Eagles, and you are very up to the condition of the players. How surprised were you that neither Sanders nor Lane Johnson played on Sunday?
I was certainly surprised. So, well, maybe not necessarily as we got really close to you know, the day of the game. Lane Johnson, they had listed as day-to-day back, like, you know, like when he first started missing practices. It was like 3 weeks ago or something like that. His surgery, like according to Tim McManus of ESPN. And then, you know, they kept saying, so like, I actually asked Doug, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago or so, you know, he could have missed practice for at least a week at that point. I said, you know, what's going on there? It's like, is he okay? Is he still day-to-day? And Doug, yep, still day-to-day. Clearly, you have surgery on your ankle. Yeah. You're not day-to-day.
Yes.
So, the Eagles are under no obligation to give any kind of training camp updates. And I guess they're not obligated to give accurate ones either, because that certainly wasn't accurate. And then, you know, the day before the game, you know, we learned that he's going to give it a go, maybe, at game time. And then we learned, you know, an hour and a half before the game begins that he's going to be on the inactive list. So I think that's kind of a jolt to the fans when you sort of create this image that this player's like this extreme. I think he's the second most important player on the team after Carson Wentz. When that guy all of a sudden can't go, you know, panic mode for the fans at that point, you know, an hour and a half before the game.
And what about Sanders?
Yeah, so Sanders, they actually listed him as week to week back like 3-4 weeks ago or whatever it was. He practiced like the first couple days of training camp, and then he missed the rest of camp. They had kind of indicated that there's no real worry that he was going to miss any regular season games. I think it was September 1st. They said he was day to day, and you know, and then obviously Doug said that both Lane and Miles were doing quote unquote extremely well like a couple days before the game.
That's right.
But not so extremely well apparently. They ruled Miles out. Miles didn't make a trip, so like he wasn't even close to playing yesterday because they decided on Saturday that he wasn't going to go.
Well, I want you to know that I think you're doing extremely well in covering this team, Jimmy.
Thank you.
But I'm not sure what that means anymore. Because I was comforted that they were doing extremely well until they did not play.
Yeah.
And then you saw what happened.
It's a lot tougher this year when you can't just pick and choose who you want to talk to.
Yeah.
They essentially give you the players that we get to interview. There's no locker room access. It's all just virtual at this point. So you know, the amount of digging that we would normally be able to do is sort of limited in that capacity. So I think in a different year, like it would have been exposed a lot earlier that these guys weren't ready to play.
100%. Jimmy Kempski, read him every day at phillyvoice.com. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, so my interesting, Al, something's going on here. You're saying they're extremely well, doing great and all this stuff, and you had surgery and he was day to day, but you can't be day to day if you had surgery. You're out for weeks when
playing
you had surgery.
Fast and loose with the rules.
I don't know what they're doing right now, but they're probably exploiting the fact that there is a pandemic and that they can tell you what the hell they want to tell you. You have to believe them.
Yeah,
but
well,
it's annoying to me that you're not getting the information as a fan that you deserve.
Well, you're missing even after a game.
Yep.
Didn't you want to hear from Ertz yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No Ertz. Well, I've not heard a word from Ertz.
I mean, because they have a limited
and they're picking who you talk. They will decide who you listen to.
Well, I don't know how it works there. I know in the NHL, you ask, and then they put a list up to who can come and who can't. I don't know how they're doing it, but I know even if it in a regular situation, you could somehow get to even one or two people gets to somebody.
Sure. They got to nobody.
The locker room's open.
Now, fortunately,
yeah.
Two of the main stories yesterday were Peterson and Wentz, and they have to always be made available.
Well, yeah.
That's an NFL edict. Let's go to Big Rube. Hi, Big Rube!
Howard!
Big Rube, we're in a bad mood. What do we do?
Well you know, I'm going to keep you on second place tonight with my Steelers beating up on your rival, the Giants. So,
and let me make this clear. I'm rooting for your Steelers tonight.
You are.
Oh, come on. I want to see. I don't want them to just win. I want them to obliterate Joe Judge in his first game as a Giants coach.
That's going to happen on a million.
All right, good. Then I'm glad to hear that, Big Rube. Big Rube, what do you tell me? You serve all these Eagle fans. They're in a horrible mood today. Help us out here. What can you say?
Man.
Make us feel better.
I mean, just look. I had my pop-up yesterday, so I'm in and out with the game. Like, okay, 17-0. You know what I mean? Something to cheer about. Then is how y'all, when, you know, I'm listening to y'all, like, last year, the same game, they was down by 17, and then – I'm like, what the hell is this seesaw thing going on?
Yeah.
And I mean, you come back from 17, you basically spot them 17 and then 27-0. I was like, no, come on now. And especially after the last game down there when Miles Sanders did play and that was where it's from Greg Ward.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, you can repeat that, but no.
All right, Rube, do people eat more? Like when you're a server, you're making the chicken, all the great stuff you do. Do people eat more when the team's winning or when they're losing?
I think more when they're losing because yesterday after the loss, it was like the orders just, I mean, people was ordering like crazy and they was putting it on social media. Oh, I bought three of your chicken sandwiches and I ate them.
That's called comfort food.
Yeah.
So you make yourself feel better via your taste buds.
Yeah, so right. I ain't mad at that.
All right, well, I feel very bad now. If I needed some chicken, would I be able to get it today?
No, not today.
Oh, that's great.
Now, wait till Wednesday. Wait till Wednesday, y'all. So we're going to avenge y'all tonight, beating up on the Giants. Y'all keep y'all second place, and then Wednesday, come holler at me in Pensport and Mike the Cook.
All right, Rube, good luck tonight. We're all Steelers fans tonight here, I promise
Please
you that.
Believe it. Please. The west side, the best side.
Holla, baby.
Holla.
There you have it. There you have it. I got a pair of Matts coming up, Jeff. A pair of Erics. A TR. Jump on board. All I'm doing is taking calls today. We do have the hot seat. Now, I have ordered Ava to do something, but that doesn't mean she will.
No.
Ava never has done what I have ordered her to do today. Will she do it on the hot seat? WIP Sports Time, 9:15.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.